You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Josh Wigler here, and before we get into today's community building episode, a quick word from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and I bet it could be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's and renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit Geico.com today. That's Geico.com.
This is a show about a team that started to grow a community. Wiggler and Jess, here till it ends. Meet up with Pastor Fail Greendale with all of our friends. The brightest timeline's here to shine away. Community building is here to stay.
All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of Community Building here on Post Show Recaps, talking Season 1, Episode 3, Introduction to Film. I'm Josh Wigler, joined here as always by Jess Sterling. And Jess, we have finally reached our first episode that we are technically rewatching, because we watched Introduction to Film during Community Building Season 0 on the patron-only feed, and now here we are. In the official watch through, I've seen an episode twice.
Yes, carpe diem. Here to see
season that DM.
Yes, I wonder if your thoughts will change at all on this episode, seeing as how now you have two episodes before it for context.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I think my reaction is I love it. I had a great time. Very great time, and I'm especially incentivized to have a really great time today, just because we are not alone. We are joined here by a great friend of mine, who before we started recording, I was saying, "Oh, it's been too long since I've seen you," and now I get to see him here, and I'm really excited to have him on for this episode specifically. That is so much about filmmaking and the meta aspects of filmmaking. Mm-hmm. I know very much in his hamster wheelhouse. He is Mr. Met himself, my fellow Syracuse alum, ESPN's very own, the great AJ Mass. AJ, welcome to class.
Nanu nanu, everybody. Yeah. So good to be here.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. AJ had reached out, Jess, because apparently there's an episode coming up involving a mascot.
Mm-hmm.
And AJ's like, I could be here for that. I was like, well, we have somebody, but we don't for Intro to Film, and I think this would be perfect.
Yeah, it worked out. I'm really excited to dig into this. Abed is obviously a world-renowned director now, somewhere in the world out there. great, great film made by Abed.
Yeah. AJ, have we ever talked about Community before?
I don't think we have. I think this is a first time, because I've been following along with your journey and watching it with interest. But yeah, I'm actually not like a longtime Community person either. I am one of the, I suppose, the pandemic born of the Community watching.
Oh wow! So very recently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I, my wife and I watched the first episode when it aired. And I remember very vividly not liking it.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that did have to do with the pacing of the episode and where the commercials hit. I don't think the pilot works very well for network television. But, you know, after all these years and everyone like saying, oh, it's such a great show, you got to watch it. You know, when we were stuck in the house with nothing to do, we were like, why don't we binge this sucker? You know, at least start it. And, you know, we probably plowed through the entire thing in 4 days. So,
Whoa,
we really loved it. We didn't stop. And so yeah. I think it works much better in a binge, at least the early episodes. Certainly.
So
did.
Once again, even as before, when I was just hopping around all over time, week by week, I'm still doing it wrong. Even though I'm going in chronological order, I should just be binging this thing.
You know, it's just so hard after watching the post-credit sequences to not want to watch more.
And yeah.
You get La Biblioteca, and you're just like, yes, please, press play on the introduction of film. The momentum is just there, so it's hard to stop.
Netflix also doesn't give you much of a choice, right? If you're watching on Netflix, at least it's like 5 seconds before it's playing the next one, so it's really easy to just crank through them.
At Gabby's suggestion, I have switched to Hulu, by the way. Gabby suggested that last week to me, and I was like, okay, if Gabby says so, she's pretty smart, certainly smarter than me.
You have much more of a fail-safe there before the next episode kicks in.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think too that there's like a whole new set of fans that have jumped on the community bandwagon as a result of it going to streaming services like Netflix and Hulu, and a lot of new people discovering the show for the first time, even like you said, in quarantine. What else are you doing? Might as well. I think that makes a lot of sense. I think like there are certain benefits to a binge where like the dud episodes, especially in the season 4 territory, maybe aren't as bad because you're just sliding right through them. You're not spending too much time on them. Yeah. But I do think like the earlier seasons, namely 2 and 3, are probably better on a slow burn.
I hope so. Otherwise, we're going to have to just reconceive the podcast format again. I'm not really ready to do that.
Me neither. Please.
Give me like another 17 weeks or whatever it is per semester. And then we can burn this whole thing down. AJ, so that's cool that this is new for you, but obviously what's not new for you is your love of filmmaking and stories and serialized television and all of that, to the point that I know that this is what you went to school for. It's what I wanted to go to Syracuse for, but I was too dumb to get into Newhouse. But that's why you were in Newhouse. So you have the filmmaking background. Like, this is very much the way I feel. And maybe I'm projecting, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like very much like a lot of the ways that Abed views the world, like through the scope of film and storytelling, I feel like you bring a lot of that to your daily life.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, it's, you know that Syracuse has UUTV at the time. It's now a Citrus TV. They've rebranded, but it's just a student television.
They really, really can't get enough.
Yeah, but I was part of a group that made our own sitcom while I was at Syracuse, and we did 2 seasons of a sitcom, no movie, but 2 seasons.
Not yet.
And we got people, we brought people in, like Alan Rafkin, who was director of Coach, came and watched an episode. And like, so I was really into like the whole concept and what we were kind of doing there. And it relates to Community, in that we didn't want to do so much a sitcom as we wanted to do a kind of a new form called a sketchcom. And I think that's kind of what the Community became. A lot of the sitcoms back in that time when I was at school, and certainly, before the Office and the kind of documentary style shows came in, they were all what I like to call reset sitcoms, where every episode is, all right, we know where it starts, and it doesn't matter what season and what episode you tune in. Apart from maybe some cast changes, it's going to start at the exact same place throughout the entire series run. Cheers is very much like that. You know, it's like you go in, Sam's at the bar, and you do something, and then, you know, whatever happens in that episode, whether it's, in this episode, Woody drinks a potion that makes him the smartest guy in the world. Well, at the end of the episode, the potion will wear off, and you start next episode where it's all back to square one. It's the Gilligan's Island of it all.
But right.
Community is one of the rare sitcoms that, each episode ends its story, but it does have an impact on the character growth. And they pick up the next episode emotionally where the last one left off with the character growth, even though perhaps, they're still stuck in community college. So I do like the fact that this is one of the few sitcoms that was able to take that next step. And, it has to do with Dan Harmon's dedication to the storytelling circle and the whole Joseph Campbell of it all, which I fully subscribe to.
Yeah. And I think a lot of these things that we're talking about here about Community broadly, Jess, and I think a big, I imagine, I don't want to speak for you, and I would love to get your take on it now that we're like, at introduction to film in like the appropriate spot, that it feels to me like this is an episode that really, really early on in the show gets you thinking about, like, what is sort of, like, the greater idea for, like, how a TV show, how an episode of television, this unit of storytelling can unlock a lot emotionally and unlock a lot about the human experience, and that this is very much going to be mission statement stuff for Dan Harmon and the writers moving forward in Community.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think that Abed, especially, this episode focuses a lot on his background, his relationship with his parents, his history. And you don't necessarily expect that from a 20-something minute sitcom a lot of the time. And I think beyond, everybody loves a funny sitcom, right? That's what they're watching a sitcom for. But what I think is surprising is how much it hooks you in emotionally and really kind of experiments with its characters and divulges a lot about them very early on. I think this is the episode that hooks most people. I think they watch the first two and they're like, okay, it's fine, it's good, it's whatever. But I think this episode, because of the Abed storyline, is really what pulls people in. And I mean, you have like the funny Pierce Troy situation. Like, that is funny and it's silly.
I really enjoy Pierce in this one, I have to say.
Yeah, I do think this is one of the better Pierce episodes. We can get into it later, but I do think this is one of the better ones.
I definitely want to spend some time dissecting the sneezing strategy. Yes. I think it's very good.
But yeah, I think this is the episode that hooks people in. And I think there's a reason. It's because there's that emotional core running through it. And it's from someone who isn't exactly the most emotional of the group. So to kind of see that, it really pulls you in, draws you in, and you want to know more. You want to know more about Abed and why he is the way he is.
Totally.
And to get meta with the story, which is what we're going to do, because the story is technically about that.
What we've been doing. So yeah.
I do think what's fantastic about this is that this is a story, where we don't realize what Abed's doing as the director until the very end. And it's also what the director of the show is doing throughout the episode, because there's a lot of jokes that don't land necessarily because they're not funny jokes. They're not the punchline jokes, but there's a lot of subtle stuff going on that on a rewatch, especially, you notice certain lines and certain things, especially with the development of Britta's character in this episode, that are so subtle that if you don't know, the first time you're watching, if you don't know where it ends up, you miss it. And it's there's so much stuff planted in here and jokes that are just really quiet and like you may not catch the first time. And I think to put that in an episode where Abed is making a movie where what he's filming is not really what he's filming and what he's showing you is not really what he's showing you is just this is why the episode is what reaches out for me is what grabbed me. It wasn't so much the Abed, it was the Abed and the fact that Abed was mirroring what the show was doing, which is just, next level the kung fu.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. All right, well, let's kick it. Let's get in. Let's seize the day. Let's carpe that diem and go into Introduction to Film, directed by one of the Russos, Anthony. Written by Dan Harmon, Tom Hobart, and John Pollock, and it originally aired October 1st, 2009. Some time ago, just to make us all feel a little bit older and worse about ourselves. Jess, take us to class. Walk us through it.
So we start in the classroom. Jeff is running through the hallways, sits at a desk in a classroom. He greets the student next to him and asks if the class is a cakewalk. The student doesn't answer. He just has like a very blank look on his face.
Do you remember the scene in Billy Madison when he's in fourth grade? And he's like, third grade was easy, but social studies division, this is going to be tough. And he's like looking at some kid who's staring back at him all slack-jawed and doesn't have anything to say. This reminded me of that. It cracked me up. I really enjoyed this moment.
Yeah,
where he was just like, oh yeah, Dane Cook's cool.
Yeah, he's just staring at him blankly, to which Jeff asks, do you like Dane Cook? And the student's like, Dane Cook's awesome.
Yeah, Dane Cook's great.
So Jeff knows that this class is going to be a cakewalk.
This is how AJ and I became friends. We were talking and like we just weren't vibing at all. And then AJ asked me, like, are you into Dane Cook? I was like, yeah. And that was how we did it.
That's it. That's
how it happened. Yeah.
Starting sure friendship.
I think that's a story. Maybe not. Yeah.
The pickles.
Alternate universe friendship was born.
So in walks the professor, Professor Whitman, with the saying, death, so called, is a thing that makes men weep. and yet a third life is spent in sleep. Mm-hmm. Like, what an entrance.
Is that from something? Is that real, or is that just pulled out of thin air?
Oh, I have no idea. I assumed it was like from some poem.
Yeah.
But considering he's Professor Whitman, like, apparently it is from a dramatic poem by Lord Byron.
Okay.
And not Walt Whitman. Yeah. That's a shame. No. That would have been a nice little Easter egg.
Jess, I am Googling Professor Whitman, who is played mm-hmm. by John Michael Higgins. He shall be appearing a couple of times in Community. We'll see him. To some degree, at least more than once.
Yeah, I think it's not many times, but it's okay. More than once. Yeah.
But I do just want to quickly point out something that I don't think I knew until just now, that his first name is Eustace.
Is it?
Yeah, his name is Eustace, Professor Eustace Whitman.
I did not know his first name, but that is a fun Easter egg for anybody playing D&D. This is
relevant for patrons of Post Show Recaps who are playing Dungeons & Dragons, because we are all on a sprawling Dungeons & Dragons mm-hmm. campaign together. So if that sounds exciting to you to sign up for the Patreon, come play D&D with us, patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Jess is currently embroiled in a campaign with Eustace, the demon child?
He's not a demon child. See, he gets a bad rep, but he's fine.
It's really neither here nor there. I just thought it was interesting.
He's fine.
Anyway, Eustace, the demon child, seizes the day, but not as hard as Eustace, the professor.
He tells the students to open their books and then close them and throw them away, which is it's obviously Dead Poets Society. It's a reference to that movie. He says, carpe diem, seize the day. No tests, no papers. You want an A? Live in the moment. Mm-hmm. And Jeff says, jackpot, because this is exactly what he was looking for.
Yeah. AJ, tell us some of the ways in which you like to carpe the DM. How is the DM typically carpe'd by one AJ Mass?
Oh, well, I mean, sometimes I open the door to my house. That's seizing the day. And
a pause after that.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of
listen, doors are tough to open, you know?
I mean, yeah, it's, you know, it's, yeah, I'll go check the mail.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Sometimes I don't get the mail for like 3 or 4 days.
How far is the mail?
A few steps.
Yeah, yeah. That's a little bit further than I typically go. A few steps. Yeah, I think I like one step it, maybe.
Mm.
Like a single step, 1 foot out and then back. And then I don't move from my little corner for the rest of the DM, Jess.
Yeah, sounds about right. I
keep
rarely
1 foot on the carpet and that's it for the DM.
Yeah, I mean, this is not in
your head. Come on, it was good.
This would not be a class for me, as much as I love John Michael Higgins, who was in the, you know, the Christopher Guest oeuvre, who was in the film Mascots, which, of course, is near and dear to my heart. But, no, I would not be signing on board for this one.
Jeff is stoked, though, right? He's like, yes, this is the one.
Jeff loves it. The professor immediately this is the beginning of class, and he just tells people to get up and walk out. And as they're walking out, he's like, you could die at any moment. You could die in a car crash. That mole is raised in dark. It's not a good combo.
Yeah.
And Jeff is excitedly, carpe diem, sir, carpe diem, on his way out. And
he loves
very
it.
Excited.
He's excited. This is going to be the easiest day he's ever come across.
And so he thinks
and he wants to spread the love when he goes to the study group. He's like, all right, gang, I got it. I know what we're gonna do. We're gonna take this class and we're all just gonna crush this. It's gonna be very easy for everyone.
Yeah, it's what they'd call an easy A, or I think it's like a crip course as well, as another term for it. We enter in on the study group. Pierce is unsuccessfully attempting to get his voice command on his cell phone to work. Everyone is frustrated. Britta tells him to just use the buttons, at which point Troy sneezes in a very mm-hmm. high-pitched way, mm-hmm. which makes Shirley and Annie giggle, and Troy asks what's so funny.
Yeah.
Josh, did you laugh at Troy's sneeze?
I loved Troy's little sneeze. I love, this is a strange thing to say. I love a sneeze. I think a sneeze.
It's a very strange thing to say, especially nowadays.
Nowadays, but I love the concept of the sneeze because they are unique. They're like, the snowflakes of the body noise. Everyone's got a different sneeze.
Okay.
Snowflakes of the body noise is your sneeze, because much like Pierce is going to say, like, some people roar, some people speak, some people are very quiet. Some people are like, just, you know, kind of like moderate, you know, run of the mill meat and potato sneeze. I love the sneeze. I think the sneeze is one of the great human conditions. I think it's just like a strange little thing. Obviously, more charged these days, rightfully so, considering everything. But I love the sound of a sneeze. I think, especially as somebody, I think I have to be in this place because I have a roaring sneeze. I have a very loud sneeze, and my sneeze very often scares my wife, Emily Fox. AJ, I just erupt with very little advance warning, just explosion. And every single time, no matter how long Emily and I have been together for many, many, many moons, she's just terrified every single time.
Yeah, I'm guilty as charged as well. I have quite the epic sneeze. Sometimes when I do manage to make it through that door outside, like, I'll sneeze and I'll hear it echoing back around the neighborhood back to me. So.
I feel like I also have a loud sneeze, but I think over the years I've started, like, you're not supposed to do this, I don't think, but, like, I hold it back because it is, especially if you're, like, in an office setting, which not now, but, you know, when those were the times, I don't want to scare people with my giant. And I also, every morning, I'll take an allergy pill because I have really bad allergies, and then I'll always sneeze, like, three times. And it always happened in the office when I worked in an office. And everybody would always hear it because it was like a big industrial open style office. And there were only like 10 people. And every time they knew it was me because it was this every morning ritual, you know?
Yeah. I'm trying to see if I can do an impression of my sneeze without actually sneezing. It kind of is like a, achoo! It's like a very big, like, kind of wind up and a pitch.
Yeah. So you're certainly not a Troy sneezer.
No,
that's for sure.
No.
Mm-hmm. No. So everybody's laughing at Troy. Everybody thinks it's funny. Jeff enters, telling him about the ultimate blow off class with Professor Whitman, who thinks he's in Dead Poet Society. They directly call it out. He suggests they all enroll. Annie says she's actually here to learn things until Troy says he's in, and then she immediately changes her mind. We're still in the era where Annie has a crush on Troy.
Yeah, I guess I'd forgotten that this was a thing.
It didn't last too long.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. So Shirley's in because she loves Robin Williams. Mm-hmm. And Abed says he doesn't like Robin Williams because in every movie, there's an authority figure that gets mad at him for making people laugh.
And so, like, what? That's just too stressful, AJ? Is that the implication that, like, he just wants Robin Williams to be allowed to live his life and it's too stressful to see Robin Williams get, like, put down?
I think it's almost foreshadowing that he's going to have an authority figure in his life who doesn't let him do what he wants to do.
Yep.
So it's a really good line there.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, foreshadowing for sure. So Abed's dad will only pay for classes that will let him help him run the family business, which is falafels. Mm-hmm. Britta is obviously upset by this. Abed wants to be a filmmaker, and Britta writes a check for Abed for his film class.
Yeah, because he does not have the money for the film class. He's not taking it. It's what he wants to do. And Britta is nothing if not extraordinarily selfless and just wants to help and wants to help actualize Abed here and help him seize the day.
Yeah, which Jeff is skeptical of. I don't know. AJ, what do you think? Like, Jeff doesn't seem to approve of this very much.
Part of it is also, I don't think Britta would have necessarily done this, but, you know, how long is this episode after the previous episode? Not too long, because we're still getting classes. We're still in the sign-up phase.
It's before they can drop classes, right?
It's got to be early. This is not Britta's money. This is Pierce's money. This is the $100 she got from Pierce for trading cards in the last episode.
Mm. Ooh. So
she's actually still up $30.
She's playing with house money. Hero. Oh, yeah. That's good. That's smart.
So, and that's very Britta. That's what I like about it. It's subtle, but it's there.
Yeah, there are episodes to come where we find out just like how poor Britta is. She just never has any money, and she never will, just because this is the person she is. I mean, for good and for bad. Shirley asks if Abed's dad is Muslim and says they aren't as understanding as Christians, and that you could get your head cut off with a salami sword, to which Annie says that that's very racist. And Jeff says Pierce will beat that in 1 minute. And he does.
He does beat that in a minute. Yeah. Not great, but I guess sort of classic Pierce.
Yes, yeah. The memo on the check says, for dreams.
For dreams.
which is very cute.
Because I believe what it said on the keychain of the car that Yao Man gave to Dreams.
Yes. I get that.
Troy sneezes again. Jeff calls out his girly sneeze. Troy says, "How about I pound you like a boy?" That didn't come out right.
I just love the quick, "That didn't come out right" is my favorite part of that.
Immediately just, after.
There's a lot of, we were talking about this last week with Donald Glover too, with like the way that like he just like kind of like uninterrupted tells Abed, "Your breath smells real bad." That like he has that sort of like uninterrupted flow here and later on when like Pierce is like going all in on the sneeze. And you think that maybe Troy is like deeply offended and upset, but instead he just goes, "Tell me more." Donald Glover is incredible.
It's, I think, like a lot of the humor for Troy is like it has to be like 70% the way that Donald Glover delivers the lines. Obviously, the lines are brilliant, but like the delivery is out of this world.
100%.
And to which, So then Shirley says, "Leave him alone with his baby sneezes." And Troy says, you're not my mother. To which Pierce replies, "Oh, you're not?"
And like, "Yep, clockwork. That's Pierce."
Yeah, I was slightly upset that the time that Jeff gives is actually 3 seconds off of the actual time. And yes, I went back and timed it.
3 seconds over?
Yeah. But nevertheless.
I'm sure they trimmed that down as close as they could.
Yeah.
I think that even in the commentary, Gillian Jacobs says that, that she had to write that check like insanely quickly because of the bit. Mm. So I can imagine she's like scribbling madly trying to get it under a minute.
Yeah. Makes sense.
So now we're off to the intro song and then back to the classroom for Professor Whitman. Shirley's at the head of the class. Professor Whitman says she'll get an A if she says why she's here at Greendale. She says to get a degree in business, to sell my baked goods and whatnot on the internet. The professor
That's not it, though. That's not really it.
That is not it. The professor asks her again. He screams, "Why are you here?" in her face. So she has a breakdown and she says, "Cause I wasted 15 years of my life on a man who left me with nothing but stretch marks and a foggy memory of two bland orgasms. And now it's time to get what's mine."
I love it. it's just the way she delivers it so fast too, that you really do need to rewind and parse that. Okay, there's a lot going on here for Shirley.
Yeah, I also think, AJ, do you think, like, if they went back, we don't really have that, like, intense, deep, angry Shirley yet. Do you think maybe they'd end that line with, like, her really low register lines that she delivers occasionally? I feel like they might have changed it.
Yeah, I think all these characters still need to grow into themselves a little bit, and so they're not quite fully formed just yet. So Shirley doesn't seem like later Shirley necessarily in this.
Yeah,
and I think there's not as much nuance on the I'm a good Christian woman that there's nuance later, but here it's done for a joke, and I think a lot of what works gets repeated. So you do know that this is an early episode when you watch it.
Yeah, I think that the nuance comes in a bit more, especially I'm specifically remembering the season one Christmas episode is when it really starts to erupt of that side of Shirley and how it's not so black and white. But Professor chastises Annie for taking so many notes,
too many notes.
As Annie has wont to do.
She's trying to learn accounting. What do you want?
Mm-hmm. He tells everyone to stand on your desks. A girl's desk breaks, of course.
I forget exactly the quote. I should have written it down. And it's not this exact moment, but it's like when Jeff is going to go and talk to Eustace Whitman, that you hear in the background, "Are you okay?" And she's like, "I'm not, it hurts." something like that. And that killed me. I heard that today. Not something I heard the first time I watched it. I died. I thought that was hilarious.
And so Pierce, of course, has to mention to Shirley about the orgasm comment and use his pinky as a, sign of something.
Hey.
The professor tells them to swim in a lake and tell 10 people they love them for homework. He calls out Jeff for attempting to coast and get an easy A. He says if Jeff doesn't genuinely seize the day by the end of the week, he will get an F. And we find out this is accounting
class. This is no way to teach accounting.
It's ridiculous.
It's such a good line. I love that is the reveal, AJ, that we're just in a completely unrelated class.
It's just brilliant. It's such a subtle thing too. You know, it's fade to black. It's a black outline, and if you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't. But it does make you wonder when in the world this guy switched from being an accounting professor to this. Did he just snap one day and end up at Greendale like everybody else?
He seized the day. One day, an opportunity came, and he took it. He grabbed it, and he never looked back. He never taught accounting by the standard syllabus ever again. So now Jeff hates this, Jess.
Yeah, Jeff is very upset about this. He's now outside complaining to Britta about it, and Britta's like, oh, you can't cheat on a class, too bad. You can't coast, you know, must suck for you. And Abed approaches with a camera filming them. He says his assignment is a documentary, like real movies with ugly people. He says he's doing a movie about his dad. When Abed's dad approaches, he's yelling about a Mr. Britta.
Yeah, I'm Mr. Britta. I'm a woman with rights, and you can see my whole face.
Yeah, she's upset about this. She's sticking it to the man, as Britta likes to do.
Britta is so great in this episode. Gillian Jacobs just cracks me up in this one. She's just like, I this is my favorite version of her so far through three episodes. It's not even close.
The fists in this scene kill me. She just has her like tiny, tiny fists up.
Yeah.
Abed's father says that just because I'm Arab doesn't mean I hate women. He says he's getting a major B-word vibe from Britta.
Getting major B-word vibes.
I love that line so much.
Yeah, very, very good B-word vibes. Little B-hat vibes. Very good.
He tells Jeff to go host American Idol. We get a lot of Ryan Seacrest jokes.
That's two Seacrest jokes in three episodes at this point. Should I be keeping track? How many more are we going for?
No, I think it eventually drops off. It's in and out.
It is funny, though, AJ, considering, doesn't Joel McHale go on to at least like guest host The Masked Singer, if not full on? Isn't he one of the regular judges on that show?
He's not a regular, but he's a frequent guest here.
He's it up for sure.
Yeah, I also like the fact this is Abed's father is being played by Iqbal Teba, who is the principal on Glee. And John Michael Higgins also has appeared on Glee a couple of times. And the fact that Dan Harmon harbors this long-lasting resentment for Glee, and yet there are so many actors who do come on over, it's hilarious.
He must, like, I need to liberate you from Glee.
They talk about that on the commentary, and it takes place, like, on the same set. And they're like, we're allowed to make fun of Glee because they have, like, so many more viewers than we do, and they get much higher ratings. So it's like David versus Goliath, and we're David just, like, you know what I mean, punching up. So
they filmed on the same set?
They said they filmed on the same lot. I'm sorry. Same lot.
Yeah. Okay, I was going to say.
Yes. And so they did have a lot of crossover with guests, and they mentioned him also being on Glee in the commentary. And it's funny. They take a lot of hits at Glee, but I think, like I said, like Glee was a superstar. So.
Do you realize that the artist with the most Billboard Hot 100 songs of all time by a landslide is the Glee cast? They have 207 songs that have charted on the Hot 100. The Beatles had 71. So
a lot of gleeks out there, I guess.
Yeah, it's a big thing. But I'm just happy to see Iqbal because he was an underrated comic genius on Glee. My wife and I are doing a rewatch of that now. And he just does so much quietly in the background with just the raised eyebrow and stuff. And for him to actually now to get some lines and to really like get some meat into it. And to, you know, to have the joke as opposed to just reacting. It's fun to see him stretch his legs like this. And it's one of the few chances you get, unfortunately. So I'm enjoying him a lot in this episode.
Yeah, whenever he does make an appearance, he's fantastic. Britta defends Abed, saying he wants to study film, and Abed's dad tries to take Abed with him. Jeff finally steps in and says, tells Abed's dad that Abed's an adult and a U.S. citizen, which he confirms with Abed before he continues.
Yeah, got the right to stay.
Mm-hmm. And Abed's dad tells Jeff he can raise Abed. Britta yells after Abed's dad that she had a father just like him, and the day she cut him loose is the day she was finally happy.
Wow. Speak your truth, Britta. Do we ever find out about Britta's father?
Yes, we do.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes, we do.
We're planting a flag here.
So
now Jeff is going to be playing the role of Abed's dad in the documentary. But Jeff, I don't want to be your dad. And Abed says, perfect. You already know your
name. Isn't that not the greatest line ever?
It's so good. It's really, really great.
It has to be the best one of the episode. It's just perfectly timed, and it's so funny. Like, Abed is just so quick with it.
Yeah, it's really great.
So next day in the cafeteria, Jeff looks ridiculous. He has a light-up tie, rainbow suspenders.
What do you mean ridiculous? Like, ridiculously cool, right? Because I just ordered that shirt. So I just want to make sure that, like, did I make a mistake? I thought.
Did you also order the slippers he had on?
Yeah, I thought people liked it. I thought, like, light-up tie, kind of cool. You know, if it's dark, people could see me.
I mean, you definitely should wear a light-up tie on the podcast.
Okay, I'll look into it. You know, maybe we could get a light-up tie in time for next week.
Well, I just love the fact that he thinks he's catering to the professor by doing this because he's dressed as Robin Williams in Mork and Mindy. And so he just thinks that, oh, well, he likes Dead Poets. He must like everything Robin Williams.
He must love all Robin Williams movies.
And that's the only reason he's chosen these suspenders.
Who could he have dressed as to...
Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah, Mrs. Doubtfire would have been probably
with the whipped cream especially, I think. That's the move.
Hoodaloo! Yeah, that would have been good.
He could have gone all Renaissance for the Fisher King, sure.
He could have done, he could have dressed as the genie.
Yeah.
Like a Blue Man Group style thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So Britta is calculating Abed's expenses for the semester. Shirley tells Britta she loves her, and Jeff tells Britta that Shirley's just doing her homework.
I love that.
And she proceeds to tell the barrister that she loves
her. I love you. Yeah, very good.
And Abed says his film's coming together. He now has a more expensive camera, which he says has a bunch of settings that it's really expensive and no one notices the difference, but he's going to use this fancy camera regardless.
Mm-hmm.
He offers to pay for Jeff's coffee, pulls out a giant wad of cash. Jeff orders a small
black... Where did he get all the money from? Did he sell his original camera?
I thought that was just he borrowed it from the film class. I don't know.
I actually think that he... doesn't not have the money to pay for the class.
He's just accepting Britta's payment.
For the story? No, his father doesn't want to pay for classes that are not related to falafel, but Abed has the money to pay for the class. He was just obeying his father until Britta decided to pony up the check. I mean, I think that's what's going on here.
And
I think
he has the money. He's flaunting it
so that he can get the reaction for his movie.
Yeah, I was going to say, I could see him pretending he has no money just to get Britta to offer the money for the storyline.
There is also, and to break the fourth wall, we do record these podcasts live with the patrons of Post Show Recaps listening from time to time, and that's happening right now. And there is, speaking of breaking the dam, a lot of people raising the point of Britta's covering Abed's expenses. So again, this is Britta's money. So
forking over all this cash.
For the expenses, yeah. And so she was up 30, AJ, but that may have changed.
Now she's down.
Yeah, now she's down.
Yeah, I wonder how much money she actually gives him because, like, later on we'll come to find out that Britta really doesn't have much money at all. So, I mean, I'd be surprised if she wasn't using student loans to pay for Green Deal. Mm. Jeff orders a small black coffee. Professor Whitman overhears and calls him boring. He says the outfit won't cut it. He rips the menu in half and orders a birthday cake.
What a great lunch order, a birthday cake.
And we're
probably talking funfetti here, no?
Yeah,
I think so. I think someone like Professor Whitman would order
like a yellow cake, vanilla frosting, funfetti situation. That sounds delightful.
And for the older viewers like me, Jeff punctuates it all with a Shazbot. Just mm-hmm. another Mark and Mindy reference.
I love it.
Thank you.
Shazbot. Nanu, nanu.
We're back to the campus lounge area. Troy sneezes high-pitched again. Pierce approaches and says he can help Troy with his situation. He has an array of masculine sneezes, mm-hmm. which he demonstrates to Troy. Yeah. And Troy asks for more. In the commentary, they did say that Pierce crushes a can. It was like a scene that was cut because so early on in the making of the show, they don't really know how long to make the scripts to fit into their time slot. So a lot of times they have extra material. One of the pieces of extra material was like Pierce crushing a can when he gets so angry, saying that people think your life is a joke. And he's like referencing himself. Yeah. But what did you think of these sneezes, Josh? Which was your favorite?
I love them. I think my favorite is the one where it's like the one that he goes, I'll draw you in, but maybe I won't sneeze. I thought that was the best one because it's just like I had never really thought about sneezes on a tactical level before. And so Pierce is now taking this thing that I have said already that I love and expanding it, you know, emergent sneezing strategy is very exciting to me as a sneeze fan. So I thought it was great. And I also, you know, Pierce is terrible. And I am to believe Chevy Chase may not be so far off. But that being said, his physical comedy here really is incredible. And the way in which he, goes through that sneezing journey is really just, really excellently conveyed. Very, very funny. Very, very, very good.
Yeah, I like the small bits too. Like, this is a great look for Pierce. He's offering to help somebody without asking for anything in return, which is really out of character for Pierce. But I do love the small instances of, like, he brings over two sodas. Troy thinks one is for him. And he's like, no, these are both for me. Like, you do still have, like, oh, we're still reminded this actually is Pierce. Like, he's not that selfless
now. Not even.
Right. But by the end of the scene, when Pierce finally grows, quote unquote, a little bit to say, oh, I am going to help him, he slides the can mm-hmm. over and says, oh, well, now my young Padawan, yes, now you may drink.
Yeah, this was a great scene. I love that. And this was early on when they were trying to make the Pierce Troy thing. That was supposed to be the main friendship. So they're leaning in here.
Yeah, it seems like they're still exploring that.
Right.
Because, you know, they haven't really leaned in on Troy and Abed yet. Even right. though last week, they probably were like, oh, well, we'll have to do a lot more of that.
Yeah, which we see again with the end credits scene.
Which is another really good one. Yep.
So we're outside again. Jeff sees Professor Whitman, and he tactically flies a kite, greets everyone, does double dutch with a bunch of very, very young girls. Whitman calls him sloppy and creepy, given the age of the girls. He asks what his life means. He says, how long does it take you in the morning to make it look like you have bedhead? How many sweatpants, sport jacket combos did you try before you found the one that said, I don't care? Mm-hmm. Seize the day, Jeff. For real. Mm-hmm.
For real. Yeah, because I often find that people are seizing the day for fake. And at that point, just like sit home and watch TV. You know, if you're not going to really seize the day, then why are you even pretending? Why are you going through the mosh? You know, don't even go through the mosh. Just sit the day. Just hang out. Don't carpe that diem if you're not really feeling it. And sometimes that's okay. Sometimes you're not really feeling it. Sometimes that's fine.
He says, do it for yourself or you'll fail life. He gives the flower to Britta. Britta says they need to talk about Abed. He's cutting class. He keeps telling Britta she's playing the role of his mother. Yeah. Jeff tells Britta that Abed is not normal. And then we cut to Abed
filming them
yeah. as he's walking backwards.
AJ, this is very American Beauty, like filming the bag or filming the people from a distance. Like, this is, what's that actor's name? Wes something.
Wes Bentley.
Wes Bentley. Yeah. That's it.
Wow.
Scary Wes Bentley. Yeah. Look at that. Divining that straight from the archives.
You know, I actually, this is my favorite line in the entire episode, quite frankly, when Britta says to Jeff, I went to the class, he wasn't there, he's cutting. But cutting is something you could do in film class. So it's possible that he was just in another room actually doing something for film class and that she just misunderstood it.
Yes.
And I think I like that interpretation better because it's just so Britta for her to get upset when he actually was there and probably the class just said,
he's cutting.
Thing. And she thought he wasn't there and he probably was.
I love that.
Yeah. It's also very Abed for the project to become bigger than the class itself. Like, this is more important than class is this documentary. I mean, it's just a great documentary, I guess, but I love that too.
This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for craveable, hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers.
Chicken up.
Crispy, crinkle-cut fries.
Hot potato coming through.
Buttery Texas toast.
Toast walking.
And secret Cane's sauce.
Topping off now.
Turbocharge your chicken fingers and get them even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app.
Go, go, go!
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
We're back in the study group. Abed bought everyone pizza and is filming them. Britta's sitting next to Jeff, which
is called their per diem, right? They're getting that lunch per diem.
Carpe diem.
Carpe diem. He's got that money for everybody's.
Oh, by the way, can I chime in here and say that they're definitely sitting catty cornered?
I'm ready to concede. I'm ready to concede. I just never heard of it before.
Take that.
I'm not taking anything.
It's the Long Island blindness. It's the Long Island blindness.
It's not cattywampus. That is something different.
I don't know what that is either.
Cattywampus is when things are like askew or askew.
What do you mean?
Like it's like wonky. Like it's cattywampus.
Stop this. You both.
That is a thing.
This is a bit. I'm not here for it.
I can tell you right now that I created a character in D&D that is Southern and has a Southern accent. I made a list of like weird sayings and phrases that she says. Cattywampus is on the list.
The two of you conspired before the podcast.
Now I'm going to start doing that.
You infiltrated the internet. You seeded a lot of articles that said cattywampus is a thing. Mm-hmm. You brought all of the patrons in on it as well, so that they are. I'm living in a simulation of cattywampus. I don't buy it. I refuse to believe it. I am wearing the They Live glasses, and I'm seeing the cattywampus for what it is, and it's a bit. Yeah, bet.
We got one who can see.
Yeah, it's not real. It's not real.
But weirdly enough, Britta, this does not happen often. Britta is sitting next to Jeff instead of on the corner, like side by side. Like it's very strange. And obviously they did it because I think they kind of had to with where Abed is sitting. Usually he can't be sitting next to Britta if he's trying to film the two of them as a couple. But it just threw me off the angle that we're looking. I don't know. It's still early, but it threw me off.
Yeah. Is this the point where Badger from Breaking Bad shows up with coffees?
Yes. Jeff asked Abed while he's cutting class. He said he was filming his movie and that it's more important than class. Abed ordered 7 lattes, and that's when Badger walks in. Yeah.
Did you guys order 7 lattes?
That's a really good impression.
Thanks. I just wanted to bring Jesse. I thought I'd bring in my Badger impression.
Yeah, like this will be great for when Mike Ehrmantraut actually joins the cast.
Okay. Does Badger come back?
No, I think he's just
Brandon Mayhew.
Well, not only that, but the Keith David from They Live will also.
That's right. Yeah.
So Britt is upset, asks what's wrong with Abed. Pierce this entire time is struggling to eat the pizza. Like, just hold the bottom, Pierce.
This is a very difficult thing for me to watch, obviously.
Fold it in half.
Folks, it's pizza.
Voice command, eat pizza. Voice command, eat pizza.
I mean, if you need Siri to help you eat pizza, there's not much I can do for you, Pierce.
Also, I'm pretty sure someone pointed out in their feedback that Annie was cutting pizza with a fork and knife, which...
Oof.
I love Annie, but what are you doing?
And this may be controversial.
This is controversial.
There's a time and place for it. There's a time and place for it is all I will say. I think it can be done. I think there's a time and place for it. It is not my preferred method. Sometimes you don't have a choice.
I will say if you've got deep dish.
Yes.
That is different.
That is the only time and place as far as I'm concerned.
Yes, that is different. As a New Yorker, there's no way I'm using a fork and knife on pizza. Just saying.
Fold. That's all you need.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Fold it in half, Pierce.
There's a time and place. We just talked about one. Deep dish pizza, eat fork and knife that.
But that's pizza, but it's like different than normal pizza.
It's pizza. It's a category of pizza.
It is a category of pizza.
It's a category, and you fork and knife it. So, like, to say just, like, blanket.
It sounded like you were saying it.
You're
like
fork and knifing the pizza.
You fork and knife it.
You gotta fork and knife it. You know? It's a deep dish. You have to fork
Jess,
and
I think
knife
we've
it.
Almost, we've almost got him, Jess. We're almost at the point where he leaves.
Yeah, I think the wrong one's gonna leave.
We're doing it on purpose. Yes. Abed tells Britta this is the scene where she leaves. She gets up and leaves. Jeff says Abed is weird and the wrong person just left. Abed pulls it around.
I do want to throw it back to the first time we talked about intro to film, which was during the initial community building patron only experience. When Corey B, our beautiful, wonderful robot building musician, was our first guest and was here for intro to film, Jess. and mm-hmm. your power went out because someone shut off all of your power. And Corey B. very brilliantly pivoted in the moment and said, I think the wrong person just left. and I'll never forget this line.
It was very funny. Yeah, it worked out. I was annoyed, but it worked out.
It was great. It was great. It was great. Look at us now. All these episodes later.
Who would have thought?
A distant memory.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Also brilliantly on the DVD commentary, this is where Donald Glover says, this show is all about dad issues. It's a lot like Lost.
Speaking of my heart. AJ, is Community the Lost of sitcoms?
You know, you could probably go
this has been Riley's take, I believe, for some time.
You know, I don't want to go into spoilers.
Do I need to take my headphones off? I can do it.
He knows season four sucks, if that's what you're thinking.
No, I don't hate season four as much as other people, although it's certainly not as, it's not as good as
he's coming seasons. Back for season four. You heard it here first.
I mean, it's much worse after Padgett Brewster joins the cast, but you know, but
oh, interesting. Okay.
I think the way it ends, certainly you could make the argument, and the way there's different cast changes and stuff and everything. It's probably more the Glee.
Everyone in Greendale, they were dead the whole time.
Purgatory. What a purgatory, if that was true.
Yeah, they're dead the whole time. Wow. Unbelievable. All right, so everything is getting a little tense.
I thought you were going to say cattywampus for a second.
I was not. not fork and knifing with cattywampus.
How about Woody Campus? Woody Campus? Would you go with that word?
Maybe. Campus? Yeah, yeah. I do like, I believe it was the great Ariel who said, Wiggler's Wampus.
Wiggler's
Wampus. It's a thing. It's a thing. That's all I'm going to say.
That's now a thing.
Yeah.
It's a bit. So we're back in the study group room. Jeff lied to get Britta to the study room, and she was expecting, but Ovid's dad comes in, is looking for Weezer. Like, what?
Like, literally, he's like looking for Rivers Cuomo. He thinks that Weezer's gonna be here.
Yeah, Jeff got him to come by telling him that Weezer was performing. That was implied there, and I love it.
That
was
not throwaway line. I don't know how often I've said this publicly on podcasts, but the question of like, what's the best concert you've ever been to? I don't have a great answer to, but what's the worst concert you've ever been to? Hands down, it was Weezer, and it's not even close. And I like Weezer. Or like Weezer, but they were terrible. They were terrible.
My son's first concert that we took him to was Weezer with the Pixies opening.
They just stood there. They just stood on stage and didn't move at all. And they were like in and out in like 50 minutes.
That's terrible. They were the headliner?
Yeah, it was Jones Beach. Like, you dragged your ass to Jones Beach, and it was like you're in the open environs.
What, were they at Field 4? I mean, because if they were at Field 4, I understand.
No, they were in like the big thing. They're in the big thing. A band called The Start opened for them. And I don't remember their music, but I remember us walking away from the Weezer concert being like, Weezer sucked, but I love The Start. That was sort of
our thing. Sucks. That's horrible.
It was unfortunate.
It's a
blue album forever, and I will defend the Green album, but they sucked live. It was one of the worst things ever. One of the worst shows I've ever. It was the worst concert I've ever been to.
So Jeff tricks Abed's dad and Britta to joining each other in the study group room. He says they both wanted the best for Abed. He says everyone should do whatever they want and leave each other out of it. With mm-hmm. Jeff's mantra, obviously. Abed's dad and Britta argue. Britta tells him she needs to let Abed make his own decisions. That's when he has a line about the speeches and guided missiles. Which are not a reference to war, but in fact, someone else's guided missiles. Abed finishes.
He loves women. He's just saying he loves women.
Love women. Abed finishes his film and asks the three to sit down to watch it. This film is great. We see a variety of scenes where Jeff is playing Abed's dad, Britta is playing Abed's mom. It's obvious that Abed's mom.
It's got like that like jib jab thing, right? Of like
the heads on the bodies,
the superimposed head,
and the mouse move.
Yeah, like the puppeteering. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Abed's mom obviously sees him as abnormal and leaves her family as a result of her frustrations with Abed. There are cut scenes of Abed's dad being very lonely, with the, I think the wrong person just left, both in English and Arabic on the screen. Abed's dad is crying. He says in Arabic, "I never said I blamed you for her leaving." And Abed said, "You never had to say it." Britta feels out of the loop, which, Britta, just let them have their moment. And Abed's dad says, "Abed's hard to understand. If making movies can help him be understood, I'll pay for the class." And he calls falafel a fallback.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a great subtle moment here, where Britta turns to Jeff while all this is going on and mouths, "I made all this happen." Points to itself. So it's just Britta's not moved by the moment so much as she can take credit for it.
I love it.
Yeah.
And why in this, there's a horse's whinny at some point in the film that is off camera, and I don't know what is there for it. It just makes me laugh every time.
It's Abed, and that's the only answer. Yeah. I love the little movie. I love that, like, Abed isn't even moved by, like, his own film, but, like, his dad is crying. Like, I love that he's studying
their reactions, you know? Like, yeah. There's the way, like, he's sort of just, like, looking at everybody to, like, sort of, like, gauge their reaction to gauge the success of the film.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's sort of, like, I like that as I think that there's something very real to that of, like, did this work on you? Did it work?
Yeah. He's very manipulative.
Yes.
Like, we find out. So Britta's upset with Abed for doing all of that to her on purpose, like getting her to be upset with him on purpose. He calls it show business.
It's not show friends, it's show business. And he lights up
in his mouth.
It's so great.
Yeah, I love this because Abed is so manipulative, and like we obviously connect with him in this episode. You feel for him, you empathize with him, but don't forget, like, this was very blatant manipulation on his part.
Yes, big time. Absolutely.
Big time.
Big time. Troy has learned how to sneeze.
And that's the meta of the thing. It's manipulative, but isn't film manipulative.
Yes.
So, you know,
it's 100%.
Life imitating art, imitating life, imitating art.
Absolutely. 100%.
So Troy has now learned to sneeze. Yeah. He's outside with Pierce, walking behind Shirley, gives a giant manly sneeze, masculine sneeze.
Yeah.
Shirley gives an impressed, "God bless you."
Mm-hmm.
Britta tells Jeff she owes him one. She stops him in the middle of the courtyard, tells him to kiss her right now. He doesn't
question it. He's just like, all right, well, there you go. Green light.
He's like, sure.
Yeah.
Professor Whitman yells, "They seize."
We're even.
Yes. He calls it a life-changing kiss. Whitman does. And he runs to climb a tree. Did anybody notice that happening in the background? He's just climbing a tree on the campus.
Yeah, I noticed it. It's hysterical.
Jeff is very confused. Yeah. In the commentary, Dan Harmon did say, like, the whole point of this was to take things away from the viewer. So take away the will they, won't they. It happens episode 3. We're not waiting all season for Jeff and Britta to kiss. And then he says that by the end of season 1, they've, quote unquote, gone everywhere they can go by the end.
Yeah.
Which I guess, expectations.
Yeah, I guess I don't really, so I've seen Paintball, so I know that they do it. But I've also seen episodes past season 1, and it's very clear they're not in a relationship. So I guess I don't know how this connects to Paintball and how much of an arc there is here. Mm-hmm. But I think, like, the way that, like, Jeff is left sort of like, huh, by the end of the episode is definitely, like, the feeling that I get watching that too, with the context of my out of context. You know what I mean? Like, I know that's circling a couple of drains, but in the context,
that was a cattywampus statement.
In the context of my cattywampus experience with Community, you know, I think it you know makes me feel the same way. Like, all right, well, how do they get from here to over there, and then to nowhere afterwards?
Sure. Although I what I like about in the moment, just taking the episode on its face and being the third episode that you may have seen if you're watching the show going forward, it's great that to Britta, this kiss was absolutely nothing, meant zero to her.
Yeah.
She was doing it again as a means to an end. And it's a transaction for her. Whereas for Jeff, as soon as he's told it's a life-changing kiss, his brain starts working like, was it a life-changing kiss? Oh my good, maybe it was. And now he's far more interested than he would have been if not for having seized the day. So in essence, Whitman's class actually helped him.
It worked.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see further evidence of that because he continues to seize the day after the credits by joining in on the Troianopolis.
Crumping. At this point, should we all start crumping? We're on video, not for the podcast. The podcast listeners won't hear us. We just crumped. It was great. AJ, great crumper. Yeah. Oh, he's actually crumping. Okay, so he's actually crumping.
It's happening now.
It happened. AJ actually crumped. I don't know how to crump, otherwise I'd do it.
I think you just
like
flail.
Like a flailing.
I think
I was channeling Cyrus from So You Think You Can Dance.
Very good. Very good.
That was really wonderful.
Great. Yeah, that was wonderful. That was excellent. Yeah, the after credit scene is great. Another great one. Streets Ahead. We could just do that now.
Absolutely. Streets Ahead.
Three way streets ahead.
One other funny bit from the commentary. We talked about this a little bit, Josh, already. Dan Harmon talks about how in the beginning, Gillian is saddled with being the cool one. Britta is saddled with being the cool one, which makes the audience say, well, I'll be the judge of that. So that's why they trended in the direction of like, well, what if we made her the butt of the joke instead? She'll be more likable. I mean, mm-hmm. I've said I don't like that in the past, but it's just something that I noticed in the commentary that he did say.
Yeah. I mean, I think this version of her is among the best Brittas I've seen.
Yeah. I love really Britta.
More like this and less like some of the stuff that I see moving forward.
Yep. Shall we get into some F community feedback?
Let's do some F community feedback. We've got this from Ethan. Ethan writes in and says, which is better, the throwaway Weezer line from Abed's dad or the SNL Weezer sketch? I don't think I know the SNL Weezer sketch, do I? What is the SNL Weezer sketch?
It's like a Christmas dinner with, I think, Matt Damon's in that, and him and Leslie Jones go on a huge argument as to which song is the best or whether Weezer's good. It's Saturday Night Live, so it goes on a little bit longer, overstays its welcome a little bit, which is obviously what Weezer didn't do in the concert you saw. So,
yeah, I was going to say, Jess, that I don't know the answer about which one's better, but I could tell you sight unseen on that Weezer sketch that they were both better than the concert. That concert sucked. Streets Behind.
This is a Streets Behind concert, yeah.
All right, what else do we got?
From Jink, one small thing I noticed is Troy offering up a fist bump to Pierce at the end, thanking Pierce for his help. Pierce returns this without a second thought. A nice little contrast after Jeff makes a big ado about not wanting to fist bump Troy in the beginning of the episode.
Do we think at this point in Community, like, they actually feel like maybe Pierce won't be a horrible person all the way through? Like, is there like a glimmer of hope that like Chevy Chase and Pierce, they'll be on board. We'll be able to do like good stuff.
Well, knowing that they were going to have Pierce and Troy be the duo, maybe they weren't planning on going full Pierce villain very early on. But I think knowing who Chevy, I mean, maybe once they saw the true colors of Chevy and also not only that, but just were like, well, we need a villain. There's Pierce. Let's do it. I don't know. AJ, what do you think?
I think Pierce... Pierce has a lot of room for growth, and I think Pierce would have grown, except for the fact that the actor portraying him is incapable of being vulnerable.
I'm a sitcom. I have to be funny.
And I think that is what really holds back. I mean, you know, there's that scene that he refuses to shoot a few seasons from now, which, you know, once I heard that, I'm like, seriously? Like, that would have been the perfect wrap-up to everything, and you'd took that away from me. Like, that's just evil.
We talked about that, right? That's the
digital estate planning. Yeah, I completely agree. That's a very good point. Like, if they didn't let him have, or he didn't let them have the emotional moments with Pierce that do make him maybe more likable, more sympathetic. Instead, I think that he just wanted to do the funny physical bits. And I think that I don't think that it's a coincidence that Dan Harmon and Chevy Chase didn't get along, and as a result, Pierce is a villain. I think those very much connect.
Sure, and it works because the show needs a villain who's part of the group, who isn't necessarily the same cartoonish villain.
Yeah.
You know, what Chang does is very cartoonish all the time. And, you know, he's not really part of the group, whereas this is, I'm in the group. And okay, you need someone who's going to be antagonistic and the antagonism feels natural. and not just for being antagonist's sake. I think you believe Pierce when he's a jerk. Mm-hmm. And so that's why he belongs on the show, and that's why you need him there. And you can't fault, you know, when you're doing Yum Yum Beans and stuff, you can't fault Pierce for being a jerk because he's supposed to be the jerk. So, you know,
I think too, it's like once they realized that the Troy and Abed pairing was where they were going to lean, I think it's much easier to then make Pierce a villain because he doesn't have his buddy, right? He doesn't have somebody that loves him, gets along with him as much. He feels out of the group. And what happens when you feel that way? Well, he lashes out. So I think it's like a natural kind of flow.
Sure. And the pivot there is in the scripts. You know, his character does pivot to this. And I think it works to the benefit of the show to just not fight against it. Just because that's what you wanted to happen when you had this all mapped out. If something else clicks, go with it. And that's why this show works, is that they weren't afraid to just say, this isn't working. Let's just end it right now and not do the whole season. Let's just change directions.
Yeah.
This is from April. April just says, this is certainly not how I was taught accounting. This is the question that I would springboard it to the two of you, is like, what is like the least conventional way you were taught something? Like, what is like the least conventional, like, class incentive, or like, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. what was like for me, I have a very easy answer. And I wonder if this was happening while you were there, AJ. There was neuroscience at Syracuse. There's a professor who, taught neuroscience, and every like fourth lecture, rather than like it being a lecture, he just played an episode of The Vicar of Dibley. And if you showed up and signed the attendance sheet, you got like a ton of bonus points towards your next test. That is by far and away the most like disconnected, carpe diem-ish type thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've all had our share of no lecture, here's a video type. Professor, and usually those are the ones who were just passed over for tenure and realized that they just didn't give an F anymore, and that's why they were doing it. I will say the coolest off-topic lecture I ever had, I took constitutional law at Syracuse, and the professor was having us debate Feiner versus New York, which is about freedom of speech and whether it can incite riot, and certainly I don't know when you would ever need to use that going forward. Don't know about that case, but it was, you know, she was being far more snippy than usual, and she wasn't letting people discuss the case. And she was like cutting people off and interrupting and everything. And people were getting more and more angry. And you're like, suddenly a light bulb goes off, and a few of us going, "Oh, she's trying to incite us by not allowing us to talk to kind of put us in the mood for everything." And then finally, you know, someone said, you know, "Oh, I want to, you know, say what I have to say," and she's like, "Yeah, well, your opinion isn't really important in this case, but why don't we ask Mr. Feiner?" And she had Mr. Feiner from the case sit in the classroom the whole time, and he came up and then lectured us. It was the coolest thing I ever experienced.
Wow.
Like the horse's mouth, you know, a situation that she totally manipulated us for. It was fantastic.
That's wild.
That's absolutely crazy.
Celebrity cameo. That's cool. Jess, what do you have? Anything competitive?
Nothing to that either of those degrees. I took oceans in college.
You took oceans.
Oceans. I was an English major.
We're just talking about the oceans.
Yeah, I needed like a science credit.
You wanted to learn about them?
No, I needed a general education course under my belt, and oceans. Wait,
you were a what major?
I was an English major.
Oh, nice, cool, same.
So I took oceans because I needed that credit, and it was I went to University of Albany, so massive, like 300 room or 300 student class, and it was fine. He was like, I love these types of classes where like if you got a decent enough grade on like three tests, you didn't have to take the fourth test. Or if your average was like a certain number, you didn't have to take the last test. And I mean, that's a bit out of the ordinary, but nothing to any of what you guys have said.
Yeah, a bit out of the ordinary. One last piece of F community feedback coming our way from Riley. Riley says, "One thing that this episode illustrates perfectly is that they had Abed nailed from day one, which also makes sense for his character. The show knows what it's doing with Abed. He comes in fully formed, and as Abed will later bring up, he's never been the type who grows and changes. He's just who he is, and he likes who he is, which is such a strong character and so unique for his archetype." So does Abed not really have an arc?
He still has an arc, but I think that if you're talking about what characters have grown the most over the six seasons, Abed is not particularly up there. I'd say there's one episode I'm thinking of that, like, he really does kind of move it forward. But overall, I don't think he's one that changes the most.
Mm. Yeah, and I think he's the most representative of the audience and the audience voice within the show, because he's the one who's not fully aware that he's not actually in a TV show. You know, it's that meta stuff. And because he's such a meta character, I think that he has to be immune to change. He's kind of like the observer of the experiment who doesn't get impacted by the experiment because he's always on the outside and keeping himself on the outside. So he wouldn't change as a result of the experiment, even as all the variables around him are changing.
All right, let's get into our Meow Meow Beans character ratings. AJ, of course, I don't know what Meow Meow Beans are yet, but we're still doing Meow Meow Beans character ratings. Am I going to love Meow Meow Beans when I get there?
Yeah, the thing is, and I'm not going to be the one to spoil it for you, but
don't do it. Don't you do it.
But, you know, you've seen something that's very similar to me.
Okay, great. I'm excited. All right, Meow Meow Beans character ratings time. Jess, I think what I'd like to do with these is, like, I think, like, everybody just, like, go through them. Like, I think, like, everybody go through their Meow Meow Beans, just, like, run through them okay. One at a time, I think, is probably, like, the cleanest way of doing it. And for me, I have yet to give out, like, a perfect 5 Meow Meow Beans for anybody. I'm holding myself back because I want to give the show some room to grow for me because I'm still just sort of, like, score adjusting and, like, I'm still learning the language of the yeah. show. So I don't have any 5s to hand out. But I have higher scores for sure than the scores that I've handed out previously. This is definitely the episode where the most people are getting high scores. So for me, there's a few that are kind of languishing. Chang is just sort of an automatic bagel. He's not here. No points for Chang. So I think that's probably going to be a bagel from all three of us. I think my next lowest is Annie with a 2.5 Meow Meow Beans. And Jess, this is not to trigger you. It is simply because she's really just like not even in the episode.
That's fair. Yeah.
Then I go for a 3. I give that to Shirley. Shirley has some lines in this episode that really crack me up. But I think that she has sort of like a reserved presence compared to the rest. Pierce is the most I've enjoyed him so far. I think that sneeze scene cracks me up. So I gave him a 3.5 Meow Meow Beans. And then I handed out 3 4s. I handed out a 4 to Britta, to Jeff, and to Troy. Troy because of his little sweet sneeze. And then also the crumping at the end and just more great Donald Glover line delivery. Britta and Jeff because they're both fantastic. I think that this is the best I've seen them up to this date through this point in the show. I don't have the recall to tell you if I feel like they have massively stronger showings, either of them, beyond this point for me. But this feels at the very least like the most I've enjoyed Britta so far. So I really loved her here. Abed gets the 4.5. He's not necessarily the star of the episode necessarily. The episode is so much about him. And I think that that's so important. And I think that he is like sort of the eye of the needle through so much of this passes and the film and sort of like that ingenuity of like getting that peek inside of his brain does so much more than like Danny Pudi specifically has to do. But I think, mm-hmm. You know, he's great, obviously, but I think the writing of Abed in this episode and like the use of Abed as a character and what character can reveal about other characters is really impeccable. So he's my MVP of the episode, 4.5 Meow Meow Beans.
Okay. AJ, do you want to go next and go through yours?
Yeah, I didn't give it a lot of thought until just now. I decided to seize the day and just, you know,
yeah.
the wind and just go for it, dive in. Yeah, I mean, I think I'm giving 1s to both Annie and Shirley, mostly because of their absence from the bulk of the episode. And the one, yeah, I hate the Annie who is so, oh, if Troy's doing it, I'm going to do it. And it's the version of Annie that I hate. So
you like the least.
Yeah, so 1 for both of them, but that's just more for not really being there. They're more than a bagel. A little schmear, maybe, of them.
A schmear.
I'm giving Troy,
a schmear. I like that.
Yeah, I'm giving Troy a 2. I think Donald Glover's great. I don't like the storyline as a, you know, if you're going into the TV guide and doing the B plot and the C plot, it's like, and Troy learns how to sneeze.
I love it.
You know, he elevates the material, certainly, yeah. Donald Glover, but the material is still that they gave Troy. I think it's only too worthy there.
So you would say it's not a B plot, it's a sneeze plot.
Sure, sure. I might do that. Jeff, I'm giving a 3. I think a lot of Jeff's actions were dictated by other characters in this one, whereas most of the time Jeff gets voiced by his own petard. I think he's really trying here, but at the end, I think he's much more manipulated in this than in most episodes, and I like him better when he is the manipulator. So I'm giving him a 3. I'm going to give both Pierce and Abed 4s. I think this is probably the best Pierce that I remember in any episode. He's trying to help. It's really not all for him other than just to feel included. And I think it's genuine. And I think it's one of the few episodes where I tolerate Pierce and he's not the bad guy. And I think I like Pierce in this episode. If this Pierce had stayed, he would have been a much more likable character going forward. He's going to get a 4. Abed gets a 4 because Abed does what Abed does. And he's also so manipulative as well behind the scenes to get what he wants. And yet still comes across as someone who we are very empathetic with. And, you know, especially with the you already know your lines, like, it's just such a great moment for him. Britta, I'm giving a 5. I think she is the star of this episode. I think there's so much that she's doing when she doesn't have the lines, when she's just on screen but not talking. Like, her, you know, certainly her confrontation with Abed's dad is great, but just like all the subtle stuff behind where she is taking agency, even sticking her nose in when she probably shouldn't. And the fact that, you know, she takes credit for the whole thing of Abed and his father getting back together. And she's still taking credit at the end. And at the end of the final scene, she's like, and now I just saved your A. And like, she's flying high. She thinks she is queen of the world. And I got to give her a 5 for that.
All right. Jess, take us through your meow meow beans.
So I gave Jeff a 3. I think he's fine. I think that, like, it's a little bit above average for me. I mean, not hitting it out of the park for me, but he's also not doing a bad job here. Britta, I completely agree. I gave her my first perfect score, 5 meow meow beans from me. This is the perfect version of Britta, in my opinion. She is empathetic. She's trying to help people. But she still has a bit of the, like, not really understanding what's going on a lot of the time. And I love that about her. Abed, I also gave a perfect 5 to. Maybe I could have brought it down to a 4.5, but I love Abed in this episode. I love learning more about him and his backstory. I love the fact that he just manipulates the crap out of everybody. I think that's genius. Troy, I gave a 4 to. I love the sneeze plot line. I think it's hilarious. The way that Donald Glover delivers his lines is brilliant, as always. This is my highest score for Pierce so far. I don't think that should be a shock to anybody. He got a 3.5. He's actually trending up for me. I started off with a 1.5, then a 2.5, now a 3.5. So I like Pierce in this episode. He's trying to help somebody, but you still get the, you know, him talking to his phone and trying to voice activate it and not doing a good job at it. So you get the funny moments without him being too horrible beyond the racist comment in the opening scene. Shirley's fine. 2.5 from me. She's there. Not the best version of Shirley yet. So I wanted to give her room to grow. Annie, again, I gave her a 3. The only reason she's...
This is Annie bias coming in.
The reason she's not a 2.5 is because I do...
The fact that Annie's higher than Shirley for you is ridiculous.
No, it's not. I love that Annie is taking notes in a class that, like, is about seizing the day. That is perfectly Annie. I agree with AJ. I'm not a huge fan of the, like, I'll do it because Troy's doing it. Like, we have to get over that hump. Like, we'll get there. But because she's taking notes in a class about seizing the day, like, I had to give her, I didn't give her a 5. I give her a 3. It's reasonable.
Look, I've done weird stuff on Down the Hatch.
There you go.
I'm not going to yuck your yum. That's fine.
And Chang a bagel. I'm not
forking knifing with this one. It's fine.
My rankings are all cattywampus.
Yes.
So we've made some changes here. So Britta has hopped from third place to first place. Abed is down from first to second. Troy loses a spot to third. Jeff gains a spot to fourth. Pierce is up 3 spots. He is in 5th place right now above Shirley and Annie. I don't know what is happening in the world right now. He'll fall down for sure.
Small sample size.
Yeah, we're early days. Shirley's in 6th. She's lost two spots. Annie is in seventh. She's lost a spot. And Chang is in last. Obviously, I don't think this is a surprise to anybody. Listen, I'm not freaking out. I'm not freaking out. Annie is in seventh. I'm not freaking out.
I'll be fine. Everything's going to be okay.
Everything's fine.
Britta's ahead of Abed right now?
Britta's ahead of Abed.
Huh. Oh, wow.
Well, okay. Because AJ and I both just gave her perfect scores. Yeah. So that's certainly going to help. And I'll double check my math later because I'm certainly not a math major. But I'll double check that.
We're live. We'll do it later. It's fine.
I'll double check.
That's great. Enjoy that, Britta. Well-earned.
It's not going to last long.
Well-earned through this point in the series. All right, let's do the Dean's List, where we give a point to the special recurring guest stars, everybody who's showing up. I will spoil it. I see that both Jess and AJ gave a point each to Abed's father. Weezer fans, the both of you, I assume.
Indeed, and just again, Iqbal Teba just rules, and it just his performance is just fantastic in this, and not that Professor Whitman's isn't, but I expect that from Mr. Higgins. I didn't expect that from a guy whose only Glee appearances are basically shoo. What can I do?
Yeah.
Shoo. Mm-hmm.
It was the line delivery for me. I just thought he was so funny in everything he said. And I also was really touched by the Abed film and his reaction to it.
Yeah. I got a rep for Professor Whitman then, you know? Mm-hmm. This is a ridiculous character. And I just love the way he's doing his best. Robin Williams, I think, is very fun. Everything that's just like sort of like whimsical and ridiculous. The whole moment of like, everybody get on your desks. It's like straight out of Dead Poets Society. Oh, Captain, my Captain, just kills me. So I feel good about giving a point this week as opposed to last week where I questioned even the need to put somebody on the Dean's List. This week I do it with zero reservation, and I had two really great options because we could have gone a three clean sweep with Abed's father, and I would have been fine with that. But I'll put some respect on Professor Whitman's name. He passes the class.
Perfect. Shall we get into our cool?
Yes.
Cool.
Let us activate the coolant system, which is how we rank episodes of Community on a scale of 0 to 4 cools, where I give a score, Jess gives a score, our guest gives a score each week. The audience gives their score as well. We round up that average, and that gives us the score for the episode.
Yeah, we are all in the same kind of family here. You and AJ are actually straddling the audience. You have it at 3.2, Josh.
Not literally.
That would be kind of strange.
Season of the day. Come on.
Yeah. That may have happened accidentally due to an errant crumping.
I tripped while I was doing double dutch with the lunch.
I was trying to cattywampus. I don't know.
But you can't attempt to cattywampus. Not right.
All right. Let's not fork and knife with this anymore.
Josh is at a 3.2. AJ's at a 3.4, which makes the audience at a 3.37, right in between them. I was a little bit higher. I had a 3.6. I really like this episode.
I'm still dipping my toes in, Jess. Like, I'm still just trying to find my footing and like my gauge of like which episodes for me are like going to be like really worthy of like very high scores. Like, I just don't know yet. So I'm like being a little cautious here. So like 3.2 right now is like very clearly like, I thought this was a great episode. I just don't know how great in relation to other stuff. Like, my compass is off. So
sure. That's completely fine.
Yeah.
And for me, it's just like, if you had done this entire episode and completely removed the Troy and Pierce storyline, it probably goes up to like a 3.8. Yeah. I just don't think that holds up to the rest of the episode, even though, like I said, it's very entertaining. It's the best Pierce is ever going to be. But, you know, it can't really get into the upper quadrant just yet.
Sure.
Yeah, I think that's completely fair. I think that, like, I like to take it by storyline, and if I liked every storyline, it's probably going to be above a 3, and then depending on what each storyline is, well, then obviously there's some wiggle room there.
Hey.
Audience high of a 4 and a low of a 1.9.
Yeah.
Stop right there!
That's it. So the introduction film, regardless, is the top of the leaderboard at the moment.
By a mile. 3.39 average.
That's great. Mm-hmm. And I think that feels right. Like, this episode does feel markedly better than the previous two. It is no surprise at all to me that when you started me on the journey, Jess, we started here rather than either of the previous two episodes, which are both good and I enjoyed. But this is the first great one. And I think that, like, for me anyway, it does feel like if you have like passing awareness of the concept of community, you don't really need to have seen the other two episodes worth of material to kind of just like hop in here and understand what's going on.
Right. They're still discovering the characters. I think this is a perfectly fine place to start. And you're right. There's a reason I started you here. Like, if I only have 12 to 15 episodes to show you, I'm not going to waste my time on the pilot. Even though it's a good episode, I don't think it's a great episode. And I think once you're in the three territory, you're in the great range.
For sure. All right. And we are all in agreement as far as the streets ahead, streets behind section, which for future reference, Jess, I think we could probably just do this right after the recap because we're there.
That's fine.
Streets ahead.
Yeah, I'll move it.
Ahead for everybody. You know, what it was great. They're dancing, they're crumping, they're cramping, they're crumpus, they're crampus.
They're all cattywampus. They're all cattywampus.
And we've got, it's just wonderful. It's a beautiful moment. And if nothing else, it is now way ahead for having watched AJ do it here live on the podcast. Yeah. A moment that is seared into my heart for the rest of my days. Very happy.
It's recorded too, so you can go back and watch it.
I've got the tapes. I've got.
We need a GIF of the.
Hey, I'll send that your way. Yeah. you can pin that tweet. You know, you. all right. So, what's exciting for me is, I believe, if I'm remembering right, Jess, that for season one, I watched Intro to Film, and then what was my next season one episode?
Oh gosh, now you're quizzing me.
Halloween?
Yes,
the Halloween episode.
Yes,
which is,
it was.
Which is, what number is that?
Eight.
Episode eight. So yes. I've got like a string of episodes here that are total blind spots. This is like my first one for a while. I had previously seen the first episode before we did Community Building. I had previously seen Spanish 101. I have now seen Introduction to Film, I think, three times. But now we're moving into total uncharted territory for me. So I'm really, really pumped. We'll save the speculation for the post-credit scene that we do just for the patrons of Post Show Recaps. You can become a member, patreon.com/postshowrecaps, and get on board with the community building community that we have there. Sometimes occasional, even additional community building podcasts, such as this week where we did Community Building Study Group, which is a new podcast that is occasionally released in which we podcast about the podcast Community Building, which is a podcast about community. Or you can watch us live. It's going to be great. But with all of that said, Jess, who is joining us for the shenanigans next week is what I'd like to know.
So if you're a patron and you listened to the study group podcast, you already know, you got the little know ahead on what's happening next. Class of 2020 Asia is coming on to talk community.
Amazing.
She has not seen a lot of community, so I'm excited. I love the variety of guests that we have, people that recently binged it, like AJ, people that watched it when it was on. And then we have Asia, who's only seen, I believe, I need to confirm with her, she might have only seen up into the episode we're watching.
Oh, awesome. Week. Cool.
I'm going to really double check with her because I'm not positive of that. But so she hasn't seen a ton of it, which is great.
That's awesome. That's going to be really, really fun. Great perspective to get on the board. Of course, get your feedback in community@postshowrecaps.com or communitybuilding@postshowrecaps.com. I guess it depends on which one you remember, which one autofills faster for you.
And those cool ratings, too, out of four.
Get them in. AJ Mass, what's going on? What do you got? Talk to us. Things you're working on, things you're watching, things that are exciting to you. How are you seizing the DM?
Yeah, it's you can find me on Twitter at AJ Mass, early adopter of the technology, so I could certainly get AJ Mass just without some extraneous number there at the end. At ESPN, we just released our fantasy baseball draft kit. A lot of articles in there, so go ahead and check that out. I also host a trivia podcast, really tough trivia podcast called Beat My Guest.
Yes, have you ever been on Beat My Guest?
No, I haven't.
Very difficult.
Is it?
Yeah, it did really can bad be, but it's fun to listen to there. When the first person on you.
And AJ knows like to never invite me back.
Because you're like, that bad at trivia?
AJ knows that it's an anxiety thing. Like, I can't. Yeah. I did so poorly when I was on. I can't do that to myself.
It's just one-on-one?
Yeah.
It's head to head, yeah. Okay. You get, I bring a guest into the hot seat to answer
AJ,
some questions.
AJ, I'd be down to come on sometime if I could do it with like if it was
pinch
like
hitter.
Yeah, it's like me and Antonio or something
Sports.
Like that.
I hear yeah. you. I hear you. Also, I got some breaking news. Breaking news. Kentad Svensgaard, a friend of mine, and myself are in the process of launching a new podcast.
Ooh.
It is a full rewatch of every one of the 323 episodes of Criminal Minds.
Oh my God.
Ooh, wow. That's a huge undertaking.
Wow.
And, it'll be dropping soon. We're calling it Felonious Pundits.
Oh, that's fun.
This is weekly. Great. Weekly. It's coming out.
This will be weekly.
The only reason I'm disappointed is because it's not a Chicago Fire rewatch podcast, but, I am here for the Criminal Minds content. That's great.
Yeah,
that's
crazy. We're
300 episodes, AJ. You're gonna be
is that show over?
Time.
Is it done now?
Well, the 15th season, wrapped up, shortly before the pandemic kicked mm-hmm. in, but there's talk of a Paramount Plus reboot.
A revival.
Yeah.
Oh,
so. No kidding.
Classic Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
I was in it early when Maddie Patton, oh, how do you say his last name?
Mandy Patinkin.
Mandy Patinkin.
I loved him in that show. I remember watching it and I was like, I mean, I don't want to say. Anyway, he was great in it, and I really, really appreciated his character.
That's great. So follow at AJ Mass to get the updates on that. Once that podcast drops, we'll make sure to retweet Absolutely. That, signal boost that, all that good stuff, AJ. That's awesome. I'm really excited about that. Jess, what kind of shit have the 90s shows taught you recently?
So we are starting season two of Boy Meets World. We just had our first episode. A lot of new characters. We're like thirsty for Mr. Turner. Who's surprised? Nobody should be. We're watching Dawson's Creek.
He's the one
Creek.
With the leather jacket. And
oh,
the
yes. He's,
Turner's great. Yeah.
He is prime thirst material. Yeah, absolutely.
He's a big trap. Yep.
Yeah. Thirst trap for sure. Yeah. Still talking Dawson's Creek. Craziness now that everybody's single. We're early days in that season one. And then actually tomorrow we're recording a special bonus podcast for what Sarah has deemed to be, what is it? Rom-com Feb. She's been trying to get that trending. It's not really working, but we love her anyway. We're watching Clueless. Classic 90s movie with Chappelle of all people.
Oh,
he's
fun.
Invited back. So
that's great.
Send us some questions on that. That'll be a lot of fun.
Cool. All right. So check out Shit 90s shows. It's Shit 90s Pod on
Shit
90s Pod on your social media platforms of choice. So much happening here in the post show recaps landscape. We have all of these many episodes of Down the Hatch have been banked because you are listening to this in the patron feed or watching it live, it has not yet to occur. But as this podcast is dropping in the main feed, stay tuned. Josh Wigler back on the job, a TV and movies Woo! Editor, inverse.com. Check it out. Check out all the incredible stuff that we are doing at inverse.com. Been having lots of great conversations with the people over there. I'm really, really pumped about what we're doing. So make sure you're checking that out. Get your entertainment news, all your geeky theory pieces. Get that from inverse.com. But we've got all sorts of stuff happening here. We've got Down the Hatch. We've got community building. Aang in there. A long time to go. All the Star Wars stuff. AJ, you got to be, we got to be getting you in on some Star Wars podcasting, no?
Star Wars, sure, absolutely. I'm very much into that, much more than the Marvel stuff. I mean, I'm watching the WandaVision.
That's
didn't
all right.
watch yesterday yet, but
no spoilers, no spoilers.
But yeah, Marvel not my thing, but the Star Wars universe definitely. As someone who waited online and got to see the episode one, you know, like at midnight when it dropped, and boy, was that the wrong thing to do.
Well, you know.
But yeah, I'm all in. All in.
I often say, Jess, that Star Wars meets you where you are,
mm-hmm.
I think is a classic Wigglerism. Well, we'll see where Star Wars meets you, AJ. We'll talk offline. I'd love to get you on for one of the episodes that we're doing on A Long Time to Go. Just so many things. We're just seizing the day. You know, we're just seizing that day here on Post Show Recaps, and we're so thrilled for all of you who are along for the journey. So specifically where it pertains to community, we want your feedback. Community at postshowrecaps.com. Subscribe, rate, review. We've got our podcast feed. Come find us wherever you get your podcasts of choice. We'll be back next week with episode 4. Until then, everybody, Corey B, take it away.
This is a show about a team that started to grow a community.
up to pass or fail Greendale with all of our friends. The brightest timeline's here to shine the way. Community building is here to stay.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.